2 rolling along this morning. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk some Major League Baseball as we're heading into the final weeks of the season. Michael Bradburn from The Score is going to join us to talk about some divisional races that do matter, some that actually don't. The Atlanta Braves are absolutely smoking the ball. They just score runs, hit homers, and they are crushing their opponents. But they've lost two straight, lost to St. Louis last night. But nevertheless, their 90 wins is best in baseball. The Dodgers are right there leading the division. But the battles for the wild card are really interesting. Arizona is right there in that process. You've got in the AL West, got three teams fighting for the divisional title in Seattle, Houston, Texas. Right now, the Astros lead it. They are in a series right now with Texas, and they lead the division by one game over Seattle and two by the Rangers. That division will come down. And of course, Baltimore and Tampa Bay going down to the wire, and Toronto's trying to hover around the playoff picture as well. So we'll talk some baseball. But of course, tomorrow is the start of the NFL season. Travis Kelce suffered a knee injury yesterday. They're not pointing to the severity of it yet, but they did say it looks like the ACL is intact, so he's not done for the season, but he might even play Thursday night. They're keeping it under wraps and just kind of monitoring him as the day goes along. But it's going to start. The season is here. It's next 18 weeks, we're going to have NFL football to talk about before we get to the postseason. And yesterday, we went through every single division to find a storyline. And we were going through some of the divisions that are just loaded with storylines, especially the AFC East, where you've got four teams and every one of them has something really big. I mean, from the Patriots standpoint, the team that is predicted to finish fourth in the division, can they get enough victories to be interesting enough in the slew of excellence that's in the division? Can they manage enough with Mac Jones and the Bill O'Brien relationship to just make some noise in a division that is just loaded completely with the Bills and the Jets and the, of course, Miami Dolphins? But the story in that division is going to be Aaron Rodgers. And they just wrapped up Hard Knocks. And I've told people before about Hard Knocks. I don't know why NFL teams hate it so much. I really don't. I understand the intrusiveness of the cameras, but I think if you went to every coach that was ever on Hard Knocks and you said, were the cameras really intrusive? Were they really around too much? I think most coaches would say probably not. In order to do that kind of documentary filming, you have to be discreet. You do have to be invisible. It's very difficult to be invisible when you're holding a camera and someone's got a microphone arm and whatnot, but you learn how to be a fly on the wall. That's kind of the point of these kind of documentaries. But if you watched Hard Knocks this year, whether one episode or all the episodes, what's the one thing that is coming out of Jetland? And that is Aaron Rodgers is having fun. He has been able to do the same thing that Tom Brady did. In fact, Tom Brady even mentioned it on a podcast. When you're on a team for a long time, right, you learn the things that are wrong with the organization rather than the things that are right. Eventually, things get a little old. And when you've had a relationship, whether it be a general manager or whether it be a head coach, and especially in Brady's case, with the head coach that was, you know, 20 years and an owner 20 years, and even if you love them and you respect them, whatever the relationship may be, after a while, it gets a little old. And when he went to Tampa, especially bringing Gronk with him, there you get a spring in your step. You get a little bit of a smile on your face. Everything's new. Everything's interesting. You ever start a new job after leaving one that you didn't quite like? Yeah, everything's great. Oh, it's awesome here. They got a great cafeteria. My boss is so cool. And, you know, they let me take the day off for my dentist appointment and didn't have any problems. And the office is spacious and the coffee's always hot and the parking is under a shade. Yeah, give it a couple of years and then you'll be saying the same thing. You'll be saying the same thing about the older place, right? We'd see it all the time. We probably experienced it all the time. Well, Rodgers knows he's not going to be in New York forever. So anything that pops up that he may have a problem with the organization probably won't affect him because he's probably like, I got two, three years tops here. I'm going to smile. I am out of Green Bay, an organization I didn't really respect after a while. And now I'm here and I'm having fun. And you also, and this is the other thing too, and I think this is why you want to change the scenery if you're on that elite level. If your mindset is, I'm losing appreciation, then you're going to want to change to somewhere else where you're getting the kind of accolades and attention that you may be wanting. Now, I'm not saying Brady and Rodgers are just attention monsters, but there is something about being in an elite something where you want to be respected for that eliteness, right? Look at Brady and the Patriots. You couldn't help yourself if you were a young Patriots fan and all you knew were they were great. So you've got a picture of you with a sort of a Brady jersey when you were like six going to the Super Bowl when they played the Rams. And then all of a sudden you're 26 and all you've known is Super Bowl or nothing. And after a while, that just becomes the expectation. And you heard it with Brady. Brady would say this in sort of code, right? Where he would talk about how difficult it is to actually go to a Super Bowl and win it. Almost like reminding people, do you know what I'm doing here? Like, do you know what these last 20 years in New England have been? It's impossible what I've done. David Copperfield has a better chance of actually making the Statue of Liberty disappear than I have going to all of these Super Bowls. 9 in total. And winning 6. That's what he was trying to sort of, you know, he's like, it's really difficult to do this. But the fans were like, yeah, not really. Because all I ever see you do is go to this. How hard could it be? So when you don't, and it becomes more problematic, and you go, oh, they even know what they have? Do they even respect what they have? And Rodgers, I'm not saying he felt that way, or Brady, but you almost get the idea that this idea of going to a training camp and people are just over the moon to see you wear their uniform. It's a little drug that at 38 years old, or in Brady's case, what was he, 42 when he moved down there? It's intoxicating. It really is. It's that feeling of, oh my God, they really get me. They really understand what I've done, what I can do. There's a new life here, and I'm feeling it. And that's what you're getting from the Jets. They're going to open their season on Monday night against the Bills. You know, you got Josh Allen and the Bills who are in that same mode of, okay, you've gone to the playoffs. We get it. You've won 13 games. We get it. You played in the AFC Championship game, and you were seconds away from going, we get it. But what can you do again? What can you do again? And that's what they're dealing with in Buffalo. Where in the Jets, it's, can we go to the postseason for the first time in 13 years? Yeah, you probably will. You probably will. It's a very, very good football team they've got there. Very good football team. So I really can't wait for this to get started, where so much of this is speculation. And again, we're going to have our yearly predictions of where the divisions are going and who's playing who and who's going to play in the Super Bowl. Cause it was always fun to do that. Everybody who does that. And we always kind of, again, laugh. But when these games get going and we can really go, holy cow, that team looked really sharp. Overreact when a team loses. I love that. That's my favorite.
Yes.
My favorite part of the season is the week one Dallas Cowboys setback where they go, oh God, it's over now. Fire everybody. By the way, do you know that the Giants-Cowboys rivalry has been one-sided lately?
Has it?
Dallas has beaten the Giants 11 of 12 times. You know what?
There was a time where the Giants just owned Dallas.
Eli Manning.
AT&T.
Mm-hmm. Eli Manning. He won the first game there.
That's right.
The season opener for that stadium, Eli Manning won, and the Giants beat the Cowboys. I remember that story. I think we talked about it years ago. Do you remember that story that broke out in 2008 and 9 back then, way back then, when there was a couple that, you know, got it on in the bathroom of AT&T Stadium? And we wondered if Jerry Jones was actually kind of proud of that secretly, that his fan base would want to do something like that in his stadium. He was so proud of that thing when that first launched. Remember that? It was as long as the Empire State Building, right? And so there was this couple, and they had a little fun in the bathroom, and they got kicked out of the stadium, of course, once they got caught. They got kicked out of the stadium. But I speculated that Jerry Jones privately is like, yep, that's my fan base. They felt like it was an honor to do something like that in the thing I built for them. And that's Jerry. He always wanted the best for that team. He wanted the best stadium. He wanted you to go to AT&T Stadium and say, there is nothing in the world like this. Nothing. We're going to have the biggest screen.
Yep.
We're going to have the big... Everything about this is going to be bigger and better than anything anyone will ever create. You'd be insane to do this.
Was it 2015 was circled on the calendar? Was that the year?
For...
Dallas having to... has to play... Be in that Super Bowl.
Oh, be in that Super... No, they were... They hosted that Super Bowl... 45.
45?
Yeah, it was 2011. It was 2010, 2011 season.
So, okay, that season.
Yeah. That season, oh, had to.
Yeah.
He spent, you know, a fortune on it.
And I mean, now you look at the stadium, it's like, you know what it reminds me of is the first time I saw the Astrodome.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the first time I saw the Astrodome, it's like, oh, it's the eighth wonder of the world, and they build NRG Stadium right next to it.
Yeah.
It's like, that little thing?
Yep, right. Yeah.
It's so cute.
It is cute, right?
And now AT&T Stadium is like, yeah, it's a nice stadium, but... Do you have a retractable glass roof that also makes you a martini?
That's true.
No, you don't.
You don't. Yeah, that thing. I mean, you how good as SoFi is and how good all these stadiums are,
yeah.
Jerry's World is still unreal. Unreal.
It's amazing to look at, but yeah, it needs, I don't know. Jerry, yeah. You need to step up your game again.
Exactly, Jerry. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up, and then we'll talk baseball as hour two rolls along this morning. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Wednesday to you. We continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. What is the good of the day as we get things rolling?
You know what? If you haven't seen this video, do yourself a treat and watch it.
Okay.
You know, not right now. You know, after the show.
Yeah, this is always troubling when you do videos because I want to watch them, but I can't.
But this one is well, worth it. And maybe you've already seen it because I'm hoping that you've seen it. You know, I'm talking to all the listeners, not just you specifically, Tony. The Mannings are looking for a third co-host.
Why?
And they held auditions.
Is this a joke? Is this like a Saturday Night Live bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not really looking for a third co-host.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay, let's go back for a second. So
they have a new ad that released their schedule.
Okay.
The Manning cast schedule for this upcoming season of Monday Night Football. It is one of the funniest things that you will see. Promise you.
Do we have cuts?
No, we don't have cuts. Because, I mean, it doesn't do it justice. Because all you're going to hear is voices, and you may know some of the voices, you may not. But right. some of the people who auditioned, for the role of third host on the Manny cast, you have like Andy Reid, Olivia Dunn, Mike Tyson, Josh Allen, Dan Campbell, our boy Dan Campbell. But the ending, and I won't spoil the ending because the ending is what really brings the commercial all
so,
together.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you're just going to have to trust that this video is in the good of the day.
You have to trust.
Yeah. We can't give you any information on it other than who was buried.
Oh no, it's fantastic.
And an ending we don't want to spoil.
Yes.
But trust us.
I'm sorry. I mean, I could have brought the cuts in and stuff like that, but you know, I don't want to spoil the ending because the ending is what makes this perfect.
Okay.
But it is a really, really well-planned, well-thought-out promo for it.
I just like talking about stuff, and when we do the good, the bad, and the dumb, it always leads to a second conversation about something.
Yes.
And I have no idea the context of this, and you can't give any context to this, so therefore the only context that I have on this is I'm glad it's a joke because I don't want a third co-host with the Manning brothers. Have all the guests you want, but the two of them, that's it. Don't take a third co-host.
And I guess unless, you know, what would it be, Arch?
Yeah. By the way, I've said this before, and I'll keep saying again. I guarantee you maybe when he's in bed with his wife and maybe that's it, the only conversation he's having, I guarantee you Joe Buck is not a fan of this at all.
The Manny cast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, he probably is like, this thing is driving me crazy.
I mean, think about him. I mean,
every
he went
Monday
from...
Night Football, no matter what we do, if the Manning cast is on when we do Monday, it's all anybody wants to talk about is the Manning
that
cast.
That is, you are so right.
And not talking about me and Troy. Because the next day, the next Tuesday, it's like, did you hear Peyton Manning said, oh my God. And Joe and Troy are like, yeah.
Or,
and we actually put a lot of work and effort in calling the game, the actual call of the game. And you'd rather watch two brothers do slapstick comedy.
slapstick and you know, quarterback technique. Quarterback analysis.
Analysis. By the way, Philip giving it a prop, saying he saw the ManningCast ad. It is absolute gold. So now, during a break, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Is it long enough to watch during a break?
Yes.
Or is it like,
yeah, it's about a minute.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, you go. You can fill it in a 3-minute break.
It's got Livy Dunn in it?
Yes.
Well, then I'm in.
Which is, it's her part is hysterical, by the way.
I'm in. I'm in for the Livy Dunn.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's it's fun. I mean, just the people that they brought in were fantastic. I mean, Sean Payton is in it. Who was it? Why am I blanking? Sean McVay.
Sean McVay's in it.
Sean McVay is in it, but his audition is right on cue, par.
Well, here's the thing that when you remember when PTI, pardon the interruption, came about.
Yes.
So what they did, they revolutionized the way you could see a show. Like they had the content next to it, and people said this was pretty good. This was really good for TV, because then you started seeing other shows saying, and coming up next, we'll argue about this, and then coming up next, we'll argue about this. And PTI was one of the first to say, hey, just put the rundown on the show. Like, let people know what topics we're hitting. And the producers that came up with that, it was pretty brilliant. It's the same thing with this. It's like they tried the coaches show, right? Where they said, look, there's an alternate broadcast with coaches. But I'll be honest with you, that kind of got boring. I tried watching those over the years. And I don't really want to know that much and all that detail. You know, I like the game the way it flows. But nevertheless, they found there was an audience for it. But the ManningCast was, can we do this with respected football players, but be funny? Can we make jokes and have a good time and make it like a party? The Mannings are very welcoming. Like, you feel like you'd love to hang out with them. They're funny. Stuck up.
And
they're,
I really never thought, I didn't know if Eli was going to be good.
No, I didn't either.
And Eli really has embraced it. I don't know if Peyton has coached him up a little bit and said, hey, man, just do this. Trust me. Yeah. Just do this. Be like this.
It really is.
Because he's really came around. And you're like, oh, okay, you know what? That's kind of comfortable.
But Joe and Troy put a lot of work into that broadcast. And the next day, everybody just wants to talk about some funny bit Eli, Peyton, and Tom Brady did in a conversation, in a bit that they did on the ManningCast. All right, what is the bad of the day?
I actually have two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, one is an addendum to yesterday's bad. And that is, remember we did the Delta diarrhea story?
Yes.
Pardon the pun, but video of the aftermath has leaked out to the internet.
Of course it did.
And
it only was a matter of time once that plane landed and the uploading began.
And remember when, you know, the pilot had said that, you know, there is a biohazard incident through the plane, a diarrhea incident through the plane. It literally is through the plane.
So the person had it
it might have just hit that person, and that person could not make it and decided to keep going forward with it. And instead of staying in one spot, just go down the entire aisle.
Got it. Oh my God.
It's just like towel or the puke bag, the barf bag, like laid down little blue pieces. You can see it going all the way down, and some of them are extremely soaked through.
You're two for two on videos for the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Well, this one, you know,
so
there's no audio for this
too.
One.
I don't know.
Well, I'm warning you. I don't know if you want to. But the other bad of the day is that to all the ladies who are depressed over the rumored news or the news of Joe Burrow's rumored engagement. Did you hear about this?
No.
Joe Burrows might
be engaged. Oh, no, I heard that he's got... I heard he might be engaged.
Pac-Man Jones was the one who spilled the beans on this.
How did Pac-Man Jones get the information over anybody else?
I have no idea.
Is Pac-Man Jones still affiliated in some capacity with the Cincinnati Bengals?
Sure. He's got to be.
But is he good friends with Joe Burrow after...
Yeah, but there is a silver lining to this bad news. If you are a depressed woman... that Joe Burrows is now engaged. The Filson Queen City Kitchen and Bar in downtown Cincinnati is offering a 9-cent sad girl shot.
That's fantastic. Well done, whoever came up with that.
I didn't even know that, you know, I mean, is that, are people, I mean, I know people are hung up on Joe Burrow, but he's, I mean, are they really, really hung up on him?
I don't know.
Does that, that would kind
of women in
me.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, I was just, I mean, in general, across the country.
I mean, a good-looking star quarterback? Yeah, he probably no woman is really interested in that.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be a very appealing thing for women to see a good-looking, rich star quarterback. I've kind of known in my lifetime that that's not a way to get women in this in this society.
So unfortunately, it's only you're limited to.
I'm sure they're going
to
sell out of these sad girl shots.
It's only one shot per girl.
Somebody is going to go, who did this? Because we just lost a lot of money.
It's just one shot per girl. That's it. And you get the shot includes or what it is. It's a Bailey Irish cream with chocolate sauce topped with whipped cream.
Okay, first of all, first of all, that's not a complex thing to make, but it is like a couple of steps for a thing that's 9 cents.
For 9 cents, yeah.
Right?
What did you think? It was just going to be like, I'm just going to pour you a shot of tequila,
like,
here you
go. What do you want? A vodka? Here you go, 9 cents.
Well, you got to make it entertaining, I guess, right?
I guess, but the bartenders are probably like, I got 200 of these, and they're all 9 cents a piece, so hey.
Now, here's my issue with this, right? That's very similar to another shot that you can order where it is for the ladies that they are to drink without the use of their hands, if you know what I mean.
Right, I got you.
It's okay. The ingredients of that
so
drink
that,
are very similar.
So that
similar.
Drink is similar to that? Okay. All right, now that's silly. That's silly.
I just realized that, like, I think that's, you know, minus the chocolate sauce, I think it's Bailey's Irish Cream and something else. There's a shot that is meant to be done without hands.
Line up, ladies. Get your 9 cent shot because Joe Burrow is engaged. Because that's now he's off the market. All right. We'll have the dumb next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call. We'll have Michael Bradburn on in 15 minutes. We will talk to him about Major League Baseball from The Score as we get to the final couple weeks of the regular season. You know, battles for playoff positioning and all of that. I did see the Manning ad. It was really good. It was very,
that's fantastic.
Very, very good. That is very good. So very smart, very funny. Both of those guys are really good at that. They, like I said earlier, it's a change in the way we can watch sports. It's something to break away from the normal way of doing something and get some information while you're watching a game that's like funny and like secondarily entertaining.
Yeah.
So the game's entertaining. And then you've got this commentary that's also entertaining rather than the straight down and distance and what just happened analysis that we normally get in the game. Yeah. It's been,
I never really thought about it until you said it, but yeah, Joe Buck has, I mean, I almost want to say, he's got to get to a point where he openly hates it.
I don't know if he can.
Because it
makes you look like a bad guy when the rest of America is saying how cool it is, and you're doing sour grapes. Because, look, when he was at Fox, there was nothing else. No one ever said, hey, this is the biggest game we've got in the NFC. It's the late afternoon game. Buck and Aikman are in Green Bay as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers take on Dallas or whatever. And Fox didn't go, hey, and by the way, the comedic stylings of so-and-so and so-and-so is on this other channel, and you might want to watch that because it's funny and it's great. It's got two personalities that you know and love.
Yeah.
And ESPN is doing just that. They're saying, look, it's Buck, it's Aikman, it's Monday Night Football. What more could you want? Oh, you do want more. Here are the Manning brothers doing slapstick comedy with their guests as well as analyzing the football game for you.
I will say this, though. In all fairness, the Mannings were there first.
That is true. That is true. They were.
Because that was the alternative to, what was it?
What was the other one? Joe Testashore and the other guy?
And Booger McFarlane.
Wasn't it Chris Fowler?
No,
not Chris Fowler. Reese Davis.
Reese
Davis. You're gonna make me look up Monday Night
Football. No, it was Joe Testatore. Who was the?
You might be right. It was Joe Testatore, and then didn't they have Jason Witten or no?
No, it wasn't Jason Witten. It was he's a really good analyst too. Former player.
Well, that narrows down.
Yeah, I know,
list.
But I mean, no, but he's really good. I think a lot of times he's on the. I think he might be with the NFL Network now. Or he could still be doing stuff with ESPN. He's like on Get Up all the time. And, but that name will come to me too. But really good. Yeah, but that was that crew, and that was the alternative to, and then Booger McFarland had the Booger Mobile, where it was just blocking people's view.
Oh, I got it. Here we go. It was, so Joe Testashore was on it from 2018 to 2019. Then Steve Levy took it over from 2020 to 2021.
Okay.
And then Buck took it over last season.
But who was, okay, but who was in the booth with, I think maybe it was in the booth with Steve Levy.
Steve Levy would be Lewis Riddick.
That's the one. Thank you.
There you go. And then Brian Greasy was also in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
Remember Jason Witten? Remember, there's a video of Jason Witten calling a play where he said, and you notice he'll go to the outside, and then the play starts, and the player goes in, like, the opposite direction up the middle.
He's trying to channel his inner Tony Romo.
Exactly.
Couldn't do it.
Ugh. That was terrible. Booger McFarland, I don't know how do I feel about him, because I think he has good things to say, but the only thing I think of him is in that clown mobile they put him in. In that stupid crane where he was going up and down like a Universal Studios ride,
side
talking
to side,
about the game.
And you had people who spent everything for 50-yard line tickets.
Yeah.
And all they
what
see
a
is
dumb
him.
Idea this was. Booger Mobile.
Yeah.
Where they he's out there in the freezing cold in like December in New York with his notes.
Yeah, you guys look comfortable in the booth up there.
Let's go down to Booger McFarland. What did you make of the first half? And he's freezing to death. Yep. He's got notes everywhere. People behind him are screaming
and
at him.
In his
they
ear,
can't see.
In his ear, he's like, oh, man, this hot chocolate's really hot.
Yeah. He's like, at least these sideline reporters get to move around and get near the heat.
Exactly.
They're putting me in a metal box and moving me up and down this field. Silly. Stupid. But, yeah, so, no, if you're like – All right, and before we get to the dumb, I mean, Monday Night Football, I know it's not as prestigious as it used to be, but it is still the primary gig
for football
announcers. It still is that. That is the job more than any other job. Be number one. You can be Sunday night for NBC. I'm sorry, that's a very prestigious job. You can be the lead guy at Fox. You'll be the lead guy at CBS. But the premier, the league is watching. All of America that loves football is watching. And Buck gets it, and they go, and here's another funny, more entertaining way to watch the game. Occasionally, they don't do it every week, but occasionally you get the Manning brothers.
Yeah, but you know what games they do? The good ones?
The good ones, The good ones. The good ones where you like circle it and go, I can't wait for Monday night.
I can't wait to watch this one.
Can't wait to see what Eli and Peyton have to say about this one.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are alone when it's like Colts.
Yeah.
Titans, and you're like, sorry, I don't mean to pick on you guys, but
well, Troy, we didn't have a good matchup tonight, so the Manning brothers aren't on the cast on the other side. You're stuck with us. That's what I would do if I was Joe Buck. I'd like slowly throw in quips like that. Well, tonight we don't have the matchup we anticipated at the start of the season, as the 6-10 Tennessee Titans are playing the 2-14 Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
I guess no Manning brothers on this one. Hey, Troy.
Yeah, no one wanted to see Desmond Ridder versus Ryan Tannehill.
I guess they didn't. They didn't want to stick around for this one.
Sorry, Ryan's out for the season. It's Desmond Ridder versus Malik Willis, or is it Will Greer? Or not Will Greer?
The Mannings can stay home for this contest.
Who's the Mayo quarterback? Kentucky's quarterback.
Will Levis.
He's with the Titans now, right?
Yes, he is.
Man, imagine he gets in.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the Manning brothers ain't calling a Will Levis-Desmond Ridder battle. That's for sure. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, it's not so much that I'll set it up this way. UCF is moving their practice this week to a local high school field, not because anything's wrong with their field. It's because they're playing against Boise State, and this local high school field has blue turf.
Oh, no, that's a big deal.
And I think it's a great idea. What I didn't know, and I think it's kind of dumb, is that Boise State has blue turf trademarked.
So the high school football team.
Anyone who wants to put blue turf for their team has to go through Boise State first.
So they have to ask Boise State if they can use that blue. Can you use it? As many of us know, if you've ever painted your house, there's 1,000 varieties of colors.
That's true.
Can you get away with? I'm not 714 blue. I'm 705 blue.
Here's what it is: the Broncos, the Boise State Broncos, own the copyright to non-green turf.
Wait a minute. So if I paint my turf red,
yep,
I have to go to Boise State and ask permission if I can do so?
Yeah, just like they're saying, there will never be another college football team with a blue turf or blue
right.
field.
But I can't be red, or I can't be another color.
There's a football team that has red, but I guess they own the copyright to it, so you have to go through Boise State to get. You know, it's like, okay, how are you going to use this red?
That
meeting
that
in a committee. I found that bizarre.
That sounds really. Doesn't sound right, but that's crazy. That's crazy that I can, like, it's one thing if you say, hey, look, if you want a blue field, we own that. But the idea that if I'm a school and I want red turf, I have to ask Boise State if it's okay to paint it a color that they don't have?
Yeah.
How did legally they get to do this?
They just got the copyright. I mean, I don't know.
It's not a copyright. Like, it's copyright to say blue turf.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like if you create a field and you say
turf.
If you create a field that says blue, like if I call it blue turf, like home a blue turf, that is I understand that they could own the copyright to that. But could I do that with a house? Like, for example, if I paint my house Camille yellow, could I tell everybody that if you want to paint your house Camille yellow, you have to ask me first? Like, is there something that allows me that legal right? Like, it'd be one thing if Boise State said, you can't make your field blue and you can't call it blue turf. We've copyrighted the term blue turf. Okay. But what if I want red turf?
All right. No, okay. I'm sorry. They do not own the rights to every color, but they do own the trademark to a blue turf, blue
right,
field.
Right. That makes sense. Because that's a term. It's like when Pat Riley copyrighted
yeah.
three-peat. That's a term. You can copyright that. Like, you can copyright, like Russell Wilson did, Broncos Country Let's Ride or Let Russ Cook. You can copyright those.
But
things.
I like your question, though. What color blue can you get away with?
What Boise State is trying to do is trying to say, hey, look, college, Division II, Division I college, you can't create a blue turf and then have blue turf T-shirts and everything's better on blue turf or blue turf madness or blue turf. Like, you can't do any of that stuff. We own all of that. That's wild. Well, I guess they had some foresight into knowing that teams would want to do that if they wore a blue jersey to blend in with the color. I saw a video of Air Force was prepping for this one time, and they couldn't be on blue turf, but they tried to simulate the situation. It's really amazing how those blend together. It's crazy how the player with the exact color of the field, it's difficult to differentiate. All right, Major League Baseball heading into its final weeks of the regular season. Three wild card teams, again, the three divisional winners, six in each league. Baltimore leading Tampa Bay, Minnesota leads Cleveland, and then Houston right now is a one-game lead over Seattle and two over Texas in a very hot AL West race. And in the National League, the Braves and Dodgers are running away with their divisions, but the Cubs are two games back of Milwaukee in the Central. And then, of course, you've got wild card races where a team like Toronto is trying to get into the picture. They are Toronto is the third. Texas is trying to be there. Red Sox have got five games to go. So there's a lot of action in the wild card standings. You've got Miami that just beat the Dodgers yesterday. They are a half a game back of Cincinnati for that final wild card spot in the National League. Arizona is a game back. San Francisco two back. So the overall thought was expanding the playoffs, you get more markets in the race, and they've done so right now. So let's figure out all of this stuff with just a couple of weeks to go in the Major League Baseball season. Michael Bradburn joins us from The Score on our Progressive Guest Line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Also talk a little F1. He covers F1 for The Score as well. How are you? Michael, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. All right, let's get to the American League in that West. Texas has slid a little bit. Seattle surged in the month of August. When you look at the way they are playing now or how it's shaking out now, where do you see the West in the American League?
It's a great question. Yeah, the Mariners are very interesting. I mean, they've been phenomenal these past couple months. And they're a very interesting-looking playoff team, too, because George Kirby is really finding his form as a legitimate ace. Luis Castillo is, of course, an ace as well. And we all know you need great starting pitching once October rolls around. And I think they could make some, like, very legitimate noise, even though the offense has been relatively underwhelming pretty much all year, other than Julio Rodriguez the last, like, month or two. So, yeah, the Mariners are a very interesting team. I know the Astros took over first place in the AL West last night. I do kind of worry about the Astros. Like, I do think one of these teams, one of these AL West teams, slips out of the playoff picture.
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Or I think the Toronto Blue Jays squeak in somehow. They're obviously not playing very well, and they're an incredibly frustrating team, especially their offense. But the West teams have so many games against each other down the stretch here that only one of them has to get cold. And I just think mathematically it's likely to happen. And I don't know who it is, to be honest. I was asked this question like mere days ago, and I picked the Astros, partially because they just got swept by the Yankees at the time. And like now, I don't know how you can pick the Astros to miss the playoffs either. Like there are three legitimately good teams, and the Blue Jays might be the worst of the four teams, to be frank. But yeah, I just think one of them falters. I don't know who.
Are the Baltimore Orioles a surprise? They were starting to come along, but this edition of the Orioles seems like it did come out of nowhere. Are they a surprise leader in the American League East?
I think they're certainly a surprise. They're the best team in the American League by record, not by run differential or anything like that. So take that into account. But yeah, like they're arriving much earlier than anyone expected, including their own ownership group, who chose to not invest in the team because they said the 2022 group overperformed. And like, honestly, as a result, they don't fully scare me in the postseason either. The rotation is frankly not good. The second half that Grayson Rodriguez is enjoying is extremely good, and he looks like a genuine future ace. But is he there yet? I don't know. Can he carry a postseason rotation? I sincerely doubt it. And then beyond that, who do they even have? Like, Kyle Bradish is good. Dean Kremer is fine. Kyle Gibson, I wouldn't want starting in a postseason game ever, but he's been good this season too. But really, like, they're not a daunting postseason foe, is all I'll say. But the offense is absolutely incredible and built to last for a decade.
Let's go to the National League, and the most intriguing divisional race is the Central, where the Cubs are 2.5 back, Cincinnati is 5.5 back, and then, of course, the wild card race. But when you look at the Central, is Milwaukee better than the Cubs and the Reds and should hold on to that, or are they all about equal and we could be in a dogfight towards the end?
I've been of the opinion for the past at least 2 months, probably three, that the Cubs are the best team in that division. And it is close for sure, because the Brewers pitching is I think objectively better, although Justin Steele of the Cubs continues to force me to eat crow for sure. Like, he's even striking guys out down the second half, and that's just like not something Justin Steele did, so that's been very exciting to watch. And the Brewers did reload a little bit at the deadline. They got Mark Canna, which is like an extremely Brewers move, to be honest. So I think they're very close teams, but yeah, when the Cubs get going, they're the better team, in my opinion. And if the Brewers do squeak this division win out, I think some of it will come down to luck, but, you know, luck over 162 games is going to happen, and the Cubs will have to settle for a wild card spot.
Are the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are in the race today, a legitimate team down the stretch to gain a wild card spot? They've got some exciting young players, but I want to know where they came from.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of it rides on Zach Gallen's performance down the final month here. He's not looked good in the second half, which is the exact opposite of what he did in 2022, where he started kind of rough and then was, I think, the single best pitcher by FIP and possibly ERA in the second half. Now he's done the reverse of that, where he was unbelievably great in the first half, and I think he has a 4.50 ERA and almost 5 FIP since the All-Star break. And that's like who the Diamondbacks have to count on in the rotation. You know, Merrill Kelly might be good by Baseball Reference WAR, but that's RA9. Like that's based on RA9. I don't really trust that as much. I think he's 7th or 5th by that metric. But like, yeah, beyond Gallen, I don't really trust their run prevention systems. And yeah, and like we saw what the team looks like when Corbin Carroll gets cold as well. And, you know, a rookie, he's going to win NL Rookie of the Year. He will probably get some down ballot MVP votes as well. He's been phenomenal.
Michael Bradburn joins us. Oh, go ahead. Finish. Didn't mean to cut you off.
But no, it's okay. I was just going to say, you know, we've seen what the team is like when he gets cold, and you know, a rookie shouldn't have to carry a team. But yeah, so I don't really think they finish in the postseason.
Michael Bradburn joins us from The Score. You also cover Formula One for The Score. So I want to ask you this question, because I've been following the series for a long time, and I've noticed the recent surge in popularity that this sport is getting in the United States, thanks to Drive to Survive and all of that.
Yeah.
But this is an argument that I remember when Jeff Gordon was winning a ton of races, is the dominance of Max Verstappen, who's won 10 straight races, good for the American audience? Is the American audience going to say, this is something I want to keep with, I want to stay with, I'm kind of new to it, and I want to stay with it? Or is the dominance a turnoff to the American audience?
That's a good question. It's probably bad for the casual getting into
right.
it. I think the season we saw where, I think it was 2021, when Verstappen and Hamilton won, like Verstappen won on the final race, that never happens in Formula 1.
Never happens.
So, if people got into it in that season and expected that to happen there the whole way, they were in for a rude awakening regardless. But I mean, you have to appreciate greatness too. Like
I do too. Yeah.
We all see greatness in all sports. I mean, regardless of how you feel about Tom Brady was astoundingly great. And some people hated him for it, but really, looking back on it now, I think we can all appreciate it a little bit more. So I think in hindsight, we'll appreciate Verstappen a little bit more, especially like he does seem to get bored with it too. Like,
I agree.
I don't think he's sticking around in Formula One very long, to be honest. Like he's not going to go on a Hamilton like run where he wins 7 in a row or whatever.
Michael, great stuff. I got to get you on for Formula One when we get closer to the U.S. Grand Prix, my friend. I love talking about it. So thank you so
much. I love Circuit of America.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. Great circuit. Michael Bradburn, again, The Score. And again, talking to Major League Baseball, a little F1. By the way, 2 races coming up in the final 8 for the Formula One season in the United States, Austin and Las Vegas. All right, we'll continue. Hour 3 is coming up next as Wake Up Call continues.